Well, that sounds like quite a bit of construction going on, doesn't it? And whether you're in the house working on a simple repair or you've got something a little more complex, you need the right tool for the job. Today on Focus on the Family, we're going to talk about a different kind of handyman project, one that might challenge you as a husband and a father, but with the right set of tools, you can succeed. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, I've admitted this many times, but I am not a handyman. That was never really part of my skill set. It was more like run when I was a kid. And I've never really learned a lot of the basic stuff, but I do have an outstanding tool chest in my garage. It's filled with all the right tools. In fact, I know when my brother or brother-in-laws come over, they always go, wow, you got some amazing tools, like a circular saw. Never used it once. But I've got it in my garage.
But you've got it in case they want to use it.
Yeah, they could start up a wood shop there in my garage with the stuff I've got. But it just makes me feel proud that I've got the tools. Never really know how to use them. But that's the point. So much in our life is like that, right? We have the tools, but we don't know how to use them. And we want to talk today, particularly to men. I think women are going to lean into this too to say, yeah, that's my husband. Because it's the 80-20 rule. About 80% of us guys operate pretty much with the same kind of modality. And there may be 20% that are outliers, but we're going to cover today why it's hard for us as men to do the things our wives want us to do. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And we've got two great guests to cover it with us.
We do. And the context for our program today is for healthy, loving relationships where husbands and wives and parents and kids generally get along, not facing serious issues.
Today's conversation is more like Communication 101. We're going to do a refresher course to help us analyze what's working and where we may need some improvements, right? Greg, I haven't introduced you yet, but Greg Smalley, our Vice President of Marriage. His brother, Dr. Michael Smalley, is also with us, who's CEO of Smalley Institute in Houston, Texas. Good to have you, Michael.
Thank you.
Now, your dad, unfortunately passed away a while back.
He did?
Come on.
Oh, no.
He's in heaven.
I remember. I was there.
But he must have been really proud of the two of you, that you both kind of followed in his footsteps, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was more proud of me, but
I was literally going to use that line.
I could see where you were going.
And you interrupted me.
You could see where this is going
today. It's like childhood all over again.
Don't you also have just a poor sister?
She's our oldest sister, and she lives in Dallas, Texas with her husband and family.
When you guys get together, how does she fare with the two of you?
Oh, I think she
holds her own.
Wins most of the time. Yeah, she's remarkably strong.
Maybe that's the next book about sibling rivalry, right? You guys need to.
And our family love language. It's a kind of a slightly unpopular love language. And I've actually talked with Gary many times trying to get him to add this one, but the love language of sarcasm is our family mode. Mm-hmm. So she hangs in there real well.
She does.
Yeah, that's not typically one of your healthier love languages, but I get it. It's fun.
Well, Greg and Michael have written a number of books together about marriage and family life, and they do have decades of experience, as Jim has mentioned, counseling couples and families and speaking to family issues. And a few years ago, they wrote a book with the late Gary Smalley called Men's Relational Toolbox.
Well, we're finally back to the toolbox analogy. It took me a while to get there, but tell us why the toolbox is so good when it comes to the men's metaphor of marriage.
Yeah, I think so many times it's easy to pick on men. It's easy to talk about our deficits, what we're not doing well. And we really wanted to write this book to encourage guys to go, God has given us some amazing tools to help us to be successful at work and in as a protector, as a provider within our family. And we need to celebrate those. So those are important tools. And so we're not asking men and suggesting, well, you need to change. What we're encouraging them to do is just to add some other tools into their already full toolbox that will help them within their marriage, within their family, as they deal with relationships. We just notice there's some tools that can really, really help.
And Michael, let me aim this one at you. What are some of the stories or examples that you have about how men love and even revere their tools?
Well, you kind of mentioned at the beginning the 80-20, that 80% of men are generally the same. I am an outlier, so I'm horrible with tools, but men generally love them. For me, the most important thing behind the book for me was to honor men, to go, like, we got tired of hearing men being constantly bashed. And I say this all the time at my live events that, look, men aren't dumb relationally. We do relationships different. That doesn't make it wrong. It's just different, right? And where women can get in trouble trying to even relate with their husband is they can belittle how men are, how we relate. We're more physical. When you're on a little playground, you're going to see all the little boys, what are we doing? Wrestling, jumping around, tag. What are the girls doing? Sitting around, talking. And we do that all the way into adulthood. And so it's really just to make sure that guys understand you can do this. There's just some stuff that you need to add.
Yeah, and it is a cognitive exercise, because if we're just left to our mm-hmm. nature, the nature will be to run around the playground and tackle each other.
I mean, your wife isn't going to want to wrestle all the time,
yeah, right?
Which we do. That's why men, we play. We're the ones, you know, in the parenting model, we're playing and wrestling and throwing. And
this story of how we revere our tools, I think he had an example of Robert in the book who somehow lost his tools. What was that story about?
Yeah, someone actually found it. So I think someone came in and actually took his prized tools.
Out of his garage.
Yeah, and he was so disturbed. He was so discouraged and depressed. And then another guy just randomly just finds this discarded tool belt. And, you know, the tools were taken and kind of brings that back. And they have this great moment of embracing. And he's all teary-eyed.
But the guy brought his belt back.
Yeah, and the wives are like, are you serious? Yeah. Because, Jim, I'm more like you that I'm not particularly handy. And when our father did pass away, because we lived in the same neighborhood in Colorado, I kind of got all his tools. Michael came and took what he wanted. But so I got all these tools. I don't even know what they're for. I had a neighbor come over, and we're talking, and he spots something. He's like, oh, my gosh, where did you get this? And I don't even know what it's
for. What does it do?
And so he's rummaging, looking, and he's like, oh my gosh, this is so impressive. And he instantly then thought I was just this amazing handyman. And I never could work up the courage to say, I really don't even know what that tool is.
Yeah, I bought a router something. I think it's supposed to cut grooves. What is it, John?
It's not, I think it's just called a router.
Oh, okay, yeah, just a router.
You connect to the internet with it, right?
That is our problem. Yeah. Okay, you mentioned the God-given tools that he gives to us men. Describe what a couple of those are. Just give us a description of what normally a man is gifted with.
Yeah, I think one is just the ability to pursue and deal with facts. And, you know, like when I'm talking to my wife, Erin, I mean, I'm listening so I can hear the facts. What do I need to solve, fix? Just Valentine's Day a couple years ago, I asked Erin, okay, so, you know, we're on a budget. I'm going to give you X dollars, you know, towards, you know, flowers, candy, a gift card. Do you want it all as a gift card or spread it out?
You're negotiating here.
So I'm task, you know, oriented, focusing on the facts. And so she goes, yeah, just give it to me as a just one gift card. So I fell for that because, and I don't know if Jim, if you remember this, but then she ends up at the grocery store right before we were going to cook a meal together at our home. And she's standing at the register, looks and notices some flowers. Remember, she said that she didn't want. She buys them or is in line to buy them. And who would you know is standing behind my wife but one Jim Daly? He looks at her holding flowers on Valentine's Day and goes,
I do remember this.
Why is the wife of my vice president of marriage buying her own flowers? So they still mock me to this day.
And you're still here. So that's
she was laughing. So
see,
I think it worked.
I got sucked in by the facts, by the, yeah, you know, the task, the problem solving, which is what we really do well.
Which can be very helpful. I think men generally can be great problem solvers because of that. Men tend to be able to compartmentalize, which is also a good thing, right? You can't necessarily allow chaos in one area now destroy all the other things you're doing in life. So men tend to be better at compartmentalizing, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's not bad. But really, I think the heart of the book for me is going, hey, you've married a woman. So guess what? There are things that we need to learn, but it's not about changing who you are as a guy. You should be honored as that. I can add to it.
Yeah, and let me admit that we're four guys sitting at a table here, and you know, we've got a lot of women listening to us, and men too. But we do need to acknowledge that. I think we come into marriage thinking we've got all the God-given talent right. that we need to make right. this successful. Why do those gifts, as you described them, Greg, why do those gifts become insufficient in marriage all of a sudden? You know, the fact-finding, the accountability, the idea to detail, problem solving. We're all sitting here nodding, yes, that's very good. That's
yeah,
I love
beautiful.
That.
I see the tear in John's eye. Exactly. Yeah.
Man, you are awesome. And then our wives step in here and the four of them are sitting around the table going, can you believe what they just yeah. said?
Oh, it's
so describe that very conflict right there, that what they're looking for is what?
Well, with the women in your life, one of their primary needs is just to be not just valued, but validated. To be heard, to feel understood. And if you get too stuck on the facts, then you're going to miss an opportunity to connect with your wife or to connect with your daughter, because it's not about the facts. It's about the feelings. And so if you get stuck and razor focused, I did not say that. Well, that might be factually true, but that's not the point. Your wife is wanting to be heard right now in this moment. She wants mm-hmm. to be validated. She wants to know that, hey, I matter. It's one of the ways we can really help our wife feel valued is by listening.
Yeah, and I don't mean this as an excuse, but we, because of our nature, we do need to develop that ability, and it takes thoughtfulness.
Yeah.
It doesn't come naturally to us. I mean, if your wife is coming to you, you're not thinking, oh, let's go out and play some basketball in the driveway.
Although that would be awesome.
It would be great. But she's looking for that emotional intimacy.
Right.
So how have you guys developed that muscle, that ability to say, okay, it's not about fixing a problem. It's not about collecting data. It's about being a good listener. That gets really tiring. I mean, your tank for that ability, okay, am I being a little too self-aware?
You're being very vulnerable.
But it drains you pretty quick because you're not wired for that.
Yeah.
So how do you compensate? How do you mentally go, okay, I got to be in, fill up the tank and go yeah. for this?
And it's just recognizing that when I'm dealing with my wife, Erin, it just requires a different tool. So that's the point. It's not that I have to abandon what I'm so good at. It's just recognizing that the other day, Erin asked me to help her move a chair into her home office. She's a counselor, so she needed this chair, and so, which sounds like a totally easy win for our marriage. Well, within seconds, we were in this big argument because I'm using the take charge tool, I'm using the problem solving tool. I mean, the things that I do really well, and she was already frustrated because she was late for an appointment with one of her clients, and they had texted saying we're here, and so she had to run to the office to do that, and so she's just asking me to help her real quick, and so I'm just going, we've got to lift this thing over your desk, we can put it in there, and we're done. And the chair just wasn't working, so I'm telling her, I go, lift with your legs, and she shot me this look that said, did you seriously just tell me to lift with my legs? And thus we got in this big argument. In looking back, see, the problem is I was really using the natural tools well. In that moment, I needed to recognize that what she really needed from me was that understanding tool, that tool that's patient listener, that's noticing that she's already overwhelmed and frustrated, something's going on. I could see it in her body language, but I was so trying to solve this problem of moving the chair that I missed it. So I think for a lot of us, it's just recognizing in those moments that dealing with our wives is probably going to require a different tool. So what's going on? So which tool do I need to reach into the tool bag and grab? And I wish I could have done the whole patient listening tool. It's just hard. I mean, we miss it at times.
And I would argue that Jesus does not give us an out on improving, on understanding others, on loving them in ways that are meaningful to them. And so just because I might not be naturally gifted, that's why that relationship with Christ is so huge, because of the Holy Spirit, right? I might not be naturally gifted at something, but because of Christ, because of the power of the Holy Spirit living in me, yes, you can become a better listener. Yeah. You don't have to be whoever. I can't think of one famous good listener right now.
Well, but you know what you're saying there, Michael, is perhaps the very definition of why marriage is marriage. The reason the Lord did it, right?
Yeah.
Is for us to be more like him, which means selfless and laying our lives down. It's really hard.
Yeah. It's like my father is a great example. He was a knucklehead. He was raised in a home with a pretty
abusive... This is why I was his favorite, by the way.
Yeah. So...
Because but, of those.
Well, his statements. Our dad's dad, so our grandfather, was kind of an abusive man, an alcoholic. They were very, very poor. I mean, he had zero example. So when he got married, I know that their first 5 years was rough. And it was like, apparently my mother had some sort of come to Jesus conversation with him. Like, look, when he missed, you know, he would continually miss Valentine's to play basketball with junior high kids, you know, stuff like that, and not even be aware that I have a wife. And so he, and what we encourage everybody to do this, is he went on a journey to learn. And by the time I was born, he wasn't a hugger. He wasn't soft. He wasn't a physically affectionate kind of guy. That's not how he was raised. By the time I was born, because he made the choice, and Jim, that's what I would probably hone in on, is he said, this is important. My wife needs this. My daughter, my sons need this. And I want to be the best father possible. So I got to learn to hug. And it starts awkward, like anything. Like, I'm not good at this, but I'm choosing. But through the Holy Spirit and just through doing it, it gets easier and easier, where then eventually it really does become more natural.
Yeah, that's good. You know, Gary had such a great observation capability. And I know one of the things that he talked about was the word usage between men and women. And many of us in the Christian community refer to that now. It's become kind of just part of our vocabulary. But it was your dad that really honed in on that and described it here at Focus on the Family many times with Dr. Dobson. But speaking about how many words a man uses in a day, how many a woman uses, refresh our memory on that.
Yeah, I think it's like women typically use about 30,000 words, and I think men about half of that, so about 15. Yeah. And I know for me, when I'm at work, that in going through meetings and doing what we're doing here at Focus, that it is hard. I've used a lot of those words, and it is hard to come home. And then I know that my wife so longs for me to reveal what's really going on. And that's why one of the first tools that we talk about is the open sharing tool.
Right.
And that's because women so crave that, you know, God created us to know and be known. And it's easy for me to ask Erin questions and to know her. It's harder for me to be more vulnerable, to be more transparent, and to be open in allowing her to really see what's going on inside. It's easy for me to answer, you know, when she says, you know, so how are you doing? I'm good. I'm fine. And yet I've learned that when Erin and I do have that opportunity, she wants to know me. And so I want to give her insight. And one of the ways that we've done this really easy, because that's hard, you know, even for the work that Michael and I do with couples and counseling, it's so hard for me just to be super enthusiastic about, yeah, let me just start talking to Erin. And what she's done over the years is she'll ask me, what was the high of your day? And then what was the low of your day? What was the rose of your day, the thorn, whatever, pick your picture. But it's really good because that's helped me to then just describe, okay, here's what happened that was actually really good. You know, I had to present something to Jim Daly and he actually liked it for once, finally. Or, you know, what was really hard.
That's just fantasy,
I know,
by the way.
I'm seeding this.
Thank you, Michael.
Because I do have to make a presentation here shortly to Jim. So I'm just seeding what I hope he says to me.
Hey, but just get to the point.
The point is, that's a really simple way to use that open sharing tool is to ask each other, what was the high of your day and the low of your day?
Let me ask you this, Michael, and Greg, certainly jump on. But I want to hone in for the women about that compartmentalization that men so easily do. And I think that's part of our biochemistry. As little boys in the womb, we have the testosterone wash, and it kind of, you know, takes us in a certain direction. But one of the powerful things that we can do is we can compartmentalize. Yeah. World War II, if you ever talked to anybody that lived through that, that participated in that, those guys never talked about it.
Right. They had to do that to survive.
They compartmentalized it. And we do that in so many ways. We don't want to be that open about things because we just put it in that drawer and we don't open it again. How do we become more in touch with that so our wives feel like they actually know us?
Yeah, I think it starts by being open to getting to know your wife, getting a PhD in your wife. That is critical because we are talking a lot of generalities, right? And I happen to marry a woman that's not very talkative, and I rarely keep my mouth shut. So we're kind of opposite in that. So for me to hear this program, right, and then just to run home and go, let's talk, chat, 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 you know, that's not going to necessarily be meaningful for my wife. But when it comes to guys being able to put their feelings in a box, right, that they have to understand their wife is interconnected with everything.
Yeah.
Right. And so one of the mistakes both men and women make is we look at that and we just go, that's wrong because it's different, right? Like, I don't do that. I can have this bad thing going on and I can put it in a box and keep it there and not worry about it. Your wife can't. So trying to be empathic about that, trying to be understanding about that, recognizing that, hey, if I'm wanting to engage intimacy wise with my wife, it does matter to my wife that the house is clean. As a guy, I'm like, I don't, you know, need anything to happen just to have to be with you. But it's important for her. So to have a heart to want to meet those needs, right? To be able to, I have a great time. Like early on, we were married in Branson, and Amy was doing an intensive all day, and so I had the kids. But I'd already kind of turned that crock pot on in the morning. Like, hey, maybe tonight. She was like, maybe. Which, guys, don't be discouraged by those answers. Most women, they don't just, you know, men are
commit.
Like microwaves, right? We're like, we're on, ready to go. And so my wife is definitely a crock pot when it comes to sexual intimacy. So by the end of the evening or by lunch, we talked. She's like, I'm actually excited about tonight. I'm like, woohoo! When I realized she was about to come home, I knew I have to have the kids in bed. And it was about 4:30. So I'll never forget, my oldest was like 5. Yeah. And I'm putting him into bed.
Daddy.
He goes, but Dad, the sun's still. I'm like, quiet, boy. This is a very important time for me tonight. So I get them down. I run downstairs excited about an evening with my wife and realize it's all a disaster.
Yeah.
So I'm cleaning everything up. I'm actually spraying ammonia into the air because that's a natural aphrodisiac for my wife. The smell of ammonia. I don't know why. Yeah. And so I'm spraying
salt.
That everywhere. And then I actually put the dishes from the sink in the dishwasher.
Yeah,
wow,
key.
You
turned it
all
on.
Out.
And I can't make this up. This is honest what happened. So now I'm just ready and I'm sitting watching ESPN or something. I hear my wife come in the back by the through the garage, which comes into the kitchen. That's like the point of entry, right? And I'm like, oh gosh, what did I miss? Yeah, exactly. And so all I hear from behind me is my wife in a sultry, very sexy voice say, and I quote, is that the dishwasher? And I thought, huh, I get the tone, and I like the tone. I don't understand the words. So I just kind of stood up and played along with it. I went, yes, it is. She goes, that is so sexy. And I went, oh, well, I do have it on hot cycle. So those things matter.
John, one of the reasons I love the Smalley family is because they are so genuine and open about their lives, and they have a great sense of humor, as we can tell.
Yeah.
They're honest about the mistakes they've made, and they share good insights about how we can love, serve, and sacrifice for one another in marriage. And for the men listening, we really need to step up and learn how to communicate better with our wives. We probably get, you know, tired of hearing that, but it's so true. And it's not hard to do. And Greg and Michael have gotten us off to a great start with the tools they've described today. And we're going to dig in even deeper on this subject matter next time.
Well, we obviously had some fun in the studio with Michael and Greg Smalley talking about the book they co-wrote with their father, the late Gary Smalley. It's called Men's Relational Toolbox. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for joining us today for Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller.
Well, as men, we can take our tools pretty seriously, but we can sometimes not use the right tool for the right job, and that goes for the way we operate in our relationships too. I really enjoyed listening to Greg and Michael today. I appreciate their humor, but also their advice on how we can interact in ways that are most needed. And I want to encourage you to contact us about getting a copy of Men's Relational Toolbox. It's an easy read, and I know you're going to relate to the practical encouragement in the book. I also want to encourage you to join us at our marriage event with Dr. Steve Bass. He is speaking into some of these same concepts. What are bids for connection and how we miss them? How we can connect emotionally and sharpen our communication skills. The event is called Stronger, a 5-step guide to strengthening your marriage. We wrap up in Cape Town tonight at Claremont Baptist Church before moving on to Durban and then Pretoria next week. All the info is on our website and you can book your ticket there too. The website address is safamily.co.za. I hope you can join us tomorrow for the conclusion of our program. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Graham Schnell, inviting you back then when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.